in my message for today. And I know some of you, when I tell you what the title of it is, you're going to say, oh, and you're going to want to leave. And I'm going to tell you there are no locks on the doors. But before I do that, Macedonia, today is the last Sunday that we will have Brother Fred with us, who is the husband of Sister Ebony, who is already in Tampa in Orlando. He is going that way. And they have received transfers, and so they will be leaving us. And I like to think of us as I heard Pastor Fisher say from Oklahoma, that when people come in, you take them where they are, and you take them as far as God will allow you to take them. And I pray that that's what we have done with Brother Fred and Sister Ebony. And he's just as lonesome as he can be. He's lost. I know he's lonesome because he said he had dinner with Brother Doug, so he got to be lonesome if he's having dinner with Brother Doug, you know. So we're happy, glad that God brought them into our lives. And we pray that God will continue to bless them. Message today. I've stopped trying to get a message for occasions. I'm blessed to receive the message of God from God. Subject, what hinders our prayers? What hinders our prayers? And I have 10 of them. 10 points. 10. And I said, there are no locks on the doors. God done bless me. See, Brother Derek has already leave. But he's coming back. There are some things in our lives that hinders us from receiving answers to God's prayer. And as I told the brothers this morning, it's just one great big word. Three letters. S-I-N. And it's not even plural. It's single. S-I-N. That's all it takes, is just one. We got 10 reasons why that's in your life. And you can take either one of these and dissect it and divide it, and you can probably get 25 or 30 more out of each one of them. And I'm trying to keep from being a great big tear bag, because God been messing with me again. And when he mess with me, I have to do what he want me to do, because he's my daddy. And my biological daddy, if you did not do what he said, if you messed up the first time, he'll tell his wife, my mother, said, oh, that's all right. Said, leave them boys alone. They're going to just be boys. He would tell that to pacify her so she wouldn't think he was going to kill us. But then when he saw us by ourselves, he'll say, son, you got one in soak, and you hate it to hear that. And then when you messed up again, and she told him again, he might and he might not say, that's all right, I'll take care of him. But then if you had messed up where she had to tell him a couple of times about you, you would go to bed at night, sleep, and you wake up and you feel ants biting you. Wasps is stinging you. Yeah, I see y'all laughing. Been there, huh? Wasn't that he was afraid of us, but he just wanted to get a point across that when you mess up, You got to pay for messing up. And you couldn't run because you were asleep. And with us, you wouldn't be in the bed by yourself because it was five or six of us. And sometimes you may not have done anything, but you would get because you were in the same bed. What hinders prayer? What made me get that whooping? I had messed up. That's what happened with us when we don't do like God wants to do. Point number one, and you'll get the gist of that later on. Failure to come clean with God. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Iniquity in the heart is the reason for many unanswered prayers. If I had iniquity in my heart and encouraged it, meaning that I'm just happy glad to keep doing what I'm doing. Iniquity is away from God, and I have not come clean with God. Brothers and sisters, I stop by to tell you that you got to come clean with Him. You got to, and He knows anyway, but you got to come clean with Him. You got to confess your sins to an almighty and a true and a living God. If I have pretended to be what I am not, if I have loved iniquity while I'm professing to pray to God, and I'm acting like I'm sorry for my sin, knowing that quick as I get up off my knees, I'm going to be right back at the same thing. Failure to come clean with God is a reason why most of our prayers are not heard and answered. The Lord will not hear me or answer me if I'm unclean. I will be left without His help and His support if I fail to come clean. Point number two. Trying to make a good impression with false motives. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not have been as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. I'm standing up here praying. Use 15-cent words. Put them together in sequential order. Have subject and verb agreement and adverbs and all them in the right places. And everybody loved to hear me stand in the synagogue and pray. But my heart is not right with a true and a living God. Heart got to be right. I'm just praying and using good words so you can say how great I am. What a wonderful prayer he or she, what they are. But God is the one that need to know about your prayers. The place where he or she loves to pray, or out in public, in the church and on the streets, at public gatherings where he can receive his reward. He will experience a good feeling, satisfied thoughts about the spiritual state of his life. He or she has cheated themselves. They missed out on the intimate presence of God. He or she gets just what they deserve. Pat on the back from a sinful man or woman. What they receive is temporary. It's commonplace. It's powerless. It's false recognition. Takes man's recognition instead of God. Right outside of that, I wrote a three-letter word, spelled not, N-O-T. That's not the way it ought to be. You ought to be praying, talking to a true and a living God. A God that can answer prayer. A God that can heal bodies and make everything all right. A God that does not need recognition by man, because he made man know everything that there is about him. Well, I'm at a part of the message that I don't like, that I didn't want to do. My thought in the beginning when I come up was to just tell you about number 3, number 4, and number 5, and go to number 6. But then I got up here and I got to talking to my master. And he said, these are the ones that you need to emphasize. Now I'm beginning to understand why he wanted me to emphasize them. Because, see, God won't let you go through anything that he won't get the glory from. God is an awesome God, and I'm glad that he loves me. And listen to me. Don't let my crying or my tears stop you from hearing what God is saying to you, because this is God dealing with Dwight Baggett. What God put in you, it happens for a reason. And he's been had me in a place for the last 5 or 6 weeks that I have to understand that the whole scope of my life is in his plan. It doesn't matter what it is or where I go or what I think about it. Oh, and y'all have to excuse me, I'm just following orders. It does not matter to God what you think of me. If God is satisfied with me, you might as well be satisfied with me as well. Point number 3. Lord, I thank you for whipping me like you whipped me. Whipping me because you love me. Point number 3, asking God for what we have no right of asking him. I've done that with God, especially the last week, and y'all have to excuse me. I keep telling you stuff about me. But God in James chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. Listen to me. Amiss simply means that you ask for something and you're asking for it in the wrong way. You have to get in touch with God and ask God, and not wavering, and believe that God will answer your prayer. You ask him for stuff that you don't really need. You ask him for stuff so you can just live a little more comfortable. You don't want it for God to get the glory. Can I stop by to tell you that? Don't ask God for anything that he will not get the glory from, because he's a jealous God and he loves himself and he loves you as well. But if you trust in him and lean on him and believe on him, he will answer your prayer. Even when a person trusts God, knows and fellowship with him on a personal level, they can still ask God for something amiss. To get ask him to help him meet his needs, and it really won't give God any glory. Whatever you ask him, let it be to his glory. And if it's to his glory, God will grant it. Sometimes we ask him for, God, give me another job so I can make just a little more money, so I can do this and I can do that. God, bless me. And God gets no glory from him blessing you. If God were to turn around and ask you, say, what good is it going to do me for me to bless you? Then what would you tell him? You got to have an answer, because God will ask you that question. You might not want to answer, but he will ask you that question.
You got to know what you're asking for and why you're asking it. Then ask yourself this question: will God receive the glory for me asking? If not, you have asked amiss. Does it mean that you're not saved? Not necessarily so, but it might be if you keep on asking him, you just might be saved in your head. Your heart got to get right for you to be saved with God. Your head can know everything that there is about him, but if your heart don't know him, you don't know the true and the living God. By asking for the glory of God, we must always remember that what God is after is communion with the saints and fellowship with the saints on a personal level, up close and personal. You got to be intimate with God. You got to be in love with him. And if you fellowship with him and you have communion with him, you will not ask amiss. Point number four: refusing to believe that God will answer our prayers. Y'all have to excuse me. Y'all might want to call a board meeting, might want to call a deacon meeting, might want to call a deaconess meeting, because I was been at this point the last couple of weeks in my life. I ask him, but I didn't believe that he was going to answer me. I stopped by to tell you that he will. God will put you in positions where you have to ask him, because nobody else can do what he needs. God's an awesome God. I know y'all don't feel me right now, because you just heard your pastor say that there were times he prayed and didn't believe God was going to ask him. That's one of them points that I didn't want to tell you, but God said, you tell him, because I told you to tell him. And God done whipped me a couple of times, and I don't want to be whipped again. There's somebody else that God done told you to do something and you won't do it. Can I stop by to tell you that God will? He will get you. And that's not a threat. That's just the truth. If any of you, point number five said, if any of you like wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. When we do not know why we cannot handle the problem that comes our way, let us have the wisdom to ask God. And when you ask him, you ought to have enough common sense to believe that he can and that he will. God will stop by to see about his children. One thing that hinders our prayers, we don't believe that God can do what his word said. He said, ask me, believing that it will, wavering not. Don't be like somebody that's on the water, on the waves, going and coming. Just stay right there. Stay on your knees. Talk to a true and a living God. God will answer your prayer. But you got to believe. You got to stay right there. If you stay there, God will. He will come. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for being just who you are. Listen. Say, God will give us a liberal amount of wisdom. Not earthly wisdom, godly wisdom. You do know there's a difference. You can have earthly wisdom and not be in the will of God. But when you get godly wisdom, it will seem like it's not right. It'll seem like it's wrong. But stay with him. Stay with him. God will answer your prayer. And it says in there, he will not upbraid us for coming to him again and again and again and again and again and again, because he has all the answers. Because we can't ask him for something for tomorrow, because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. God would give us the wisdom for tomorrow because he knows what tomorrow holds. But we just got to ask him. He's not going to get angry with you. Sometimes us as parents, children keep coming back to you for something different today. And you get ticked off with them because you gave them something just like it almost yesterday. But they come again today and it kind of messes with you. God is not like that. It will not upbraid him. It will not make him angry with you. He'll just provide just what you need because he's your daddy. And I wrote this down there, y'all. I said, I just got enough trust in God to believe that he would rather for me to come to him than to go to Satan and ask Satan to try to supply my needs. I've always said this. If my wife wanted a dress and I wouldn't buy it and she went to some other man to buy it, I ought not to get mad because I wouldn't do it. But if she want one every day and I buy one every day, she won't have to go anywhere else to ask for one. And I said the same thing about God. If I'm his child and I go to him, he gonna bless me. How do you know? Because he blessed me yesterday and he gonna bless me again today. He's already blessed me one time today because I'm alive and I see this day. He gonna bless me again after a while, by and by. How do you know, Baggett? Because I'm trusting in him. I'm leaning on him and I'm depending on him to come through for me. He's not left me, not forsake me. Point number five, we have a tendency to deny the reality of spiritual warfare. We deny that there is a devil. We deny that there is Satan. We deny that Satan does have imps that run around and help him. Look at Daniel chapter 10, verses 10 through 13. I'm not going to read that to you, but read it. This is where Daniel had been praying to God for 21 days. He kept right on praying, but then his prayer was not answered. But he kept right on praying. He kept right on talking to God. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been talking to him and wanting him to bless something? And it seemed like he had turned a deaf ear. I tell you, stay on your knees. Keep on praying. The old folks in the old church would call it the mourner's bench. When you're seeking after God and seem like he just won't come, seem like he's going on vacation, I dare you to keep right on praying. Daniel prayed for 21 days, and then all of a sudden, he said, I was there, and I was sitting down, and I was weak because I had been fasting and praying, and my prayer hadn't been answered, but I hadn't given up on God. The Bible says that he was weak, and Daniel said, he come, and he put his hand on me, and said, then I got on my hand, the palm of my hand, and on my knees, and so he said, stand up. Get upright. And said, he told him, said, I heard God answered your prayer the first day you prayed it, but the devil, the prince of the air, apprehended me. He stopped me for just a little while. In Macedonia, I don't want to scare you, but do you know that there are devils that are assigned to Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church at 603 MLK? Do you understand that? There are devils got regions. They got a hierarchy. They got order. This devil is over this. This devil is over this. If you look at the hierarchy in the church, read Revelation. Whatever God got, the devil got an artificial form of it. The devil got a hierarchy and order. There are devils that hinders our prayer. He does not want your prayers to be answered. And you get mad and you stop praying, God won't answer. The devil will hinder your prayer. Why do you think? Just like a dam will stop up water, the devil will stop up your blessing. Listen. Whatever whatever you've been asking God for, I ain't talking to none of y'all, I'm talking to me. Whatever you've been asking God for, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep praying. Keep praying. Daylight's coming. Daylight's coming. Answered prayers come from staying on your knees. Persevering. Staying right there. We want anything we ask God for, we want it to come lickety split. Before I stop praying, I want to have an answer. And he does that sometime. But there are some things. Jesus told the disciples that there are some things that come by fasting and praying. And there's one thing we don't want to do. That's turn down that plate. We don't want to turn down that plate. We fast on praying. Yeah. We ought not to fast on praying. We ought to fast on the plate. Turn that plate over. Back away from it. And I'm going to say this. You got to do it with common sense. If you got health problems and you have to eat, if you want to fast, you can. Daniel says in this somewhere, he said, I didn't eat any pleasant food. You have to get some liquids in you because you're pressed by. Like right now, I'm not pressed by and I'm sweating. Because they say animals sweat, humans press by. I'm an animal, I sweat. So I'm wet. But I need to get some liquids in me. Because if not, I'll dehydrate. God fix it so you can get so much in you. And when you fasting, you can fast. And this is not in my message. I got a little thin book somewhere. I'll try to find it because some of you are probably going to ask me about it. It said you can drink fruit juice, especially that we call fruit of the vine. I don't know what it is about that fruit of the vine. Just seems like it's blessed. You can drink them. Fix it so you can drink an ounce here, an ounce there, and an ounce there and do without food. If you want to fast. If you have to take medication, take your medication. If you have to have food with your medication, that means you can't fast. Common sense. Common sense. Common sense. Don't go around here mistaking your medicine because pastor said you ought to fast sometime. And you ought to fast sometime. You ought to fast. Uh-huh. Instead of eating three Whoppers, eat two. That'll be fasting. If you used to eating three, eat two. See, now y'all laughing at that, but that's a form of fasting if you used to eating three. You're not eating as much as you used to eat. Nate, what I do with my glasses? Right here. All right. So we have to admit that there are devils, and they are not just in somewhere else. They are here. Number six. Number what? Okay, that might be seven in y'all's book, but there's six in mine. Six. Number six. This is number six. We ain't gonna fall out. 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 We ain't gonna get no divorce over this. Point number six. Discrediting the worth of our spouses. This comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them accordingly to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayer may be not hindered. Be not hindered. And this one gonna be kind of hard for some of you to understand, but if you can understand the reason why he wrote this, and I'm gonna try to tell you it in just a minute. God has no respect of person. The husband need to dwell with his wife and with no one else. The husband and wife are a team. They are to be as one body that dwells, lives, moves together. This is not to do away with their individuality. Peter here in this passage is speaking to Christian women with an unsaved husband. And this is the reason why this letter is written the way that it is. More of the Jewish women were Christian than the men. And I said, Peter, you're on target for 2012 as well. Brothers, and I'm looking at you. More of them are in the church than men. And Peter was right in this. He knew the order and the law of the Jewish people. The man was in charge of everything. If he was there, he was in charge, and he had the last and the first and the second and all of the say-sos. She had no rights. That's why this letter is written the way that it is, because of the time that they were in. But it's still, that part of it is still true, and the part of it, another part is true, is that we need to work as a team. One of us can't go this way and the other one goes that way. Says a house that's divided will fall. That's why I tell any young man and young lady that come to me for counseling, I tell them up straight, down one side and down the other. Both of you ought to be worshiping at the same place. You can't be here and she can't be there. Both of you need to be at the same place. Amen, life. And brothers, if the men stay with God, the woman will stay. She'll stay. And brothers, I can tell y'all why I think they stay. This is me. This ain't Bible. This is me. I believe that all of them, all women, take responsibility for what Eve did, trying to make up for what we did wrong. I know most of you say, no, not me. That was her fault. Yeah, I know it. But you don't ever want to admit anything. You're always that strong woman. Yeah, you weak too. Like I told y'all the other day, y'all lust after men just like men lust after women. All of us are the same. We all made with that same desire to desire the other one. If you still with God. Husbands, don't beat your wife down. When my wife was working in church and I was not there, she can tell you too, I did not try to stop her from going. But I sure didn't go myself. I didn't go. She browbeated me for a while. And then I know what she did to me, brothers. And that's why I tell all sisters that got one that ain't coming, every Sunday you come, just lay that joke on the altar. Lay him on the altar. After a while, he'll come. We were going to church at Lebanon Missionary Baptist Church in Baker, Florida. Sunday school started at 9:30. She'd leave the house at 9 o'clock. I would already be there. I couldn't wait till 9 o'clock to leave to go to Baker and be there at 9:30. She was always on time, but I couldn't do that. I had to get there. That's why we drive two vehicles if we're going to church. If we're going to church, we drive two vehicles because I got to be there. Because I got a mandate from God. Said, don't you take a chance on being late. Left the house. I was late leaving the house this morning. It was after 8 o'clock when I left. I usually leave right straight up close to 8 o'clock as I can. I'll leave before, but I don't like to leave after. I'm just coming 3 miles, but I got to get here because I got a mandate from God. Say, you be there because you are the leader and you are supposed to lead people the way that they ought to go. Be on time because God, ain't that a song? He's an on-time God. He ain't never late. We might think he's late, but he's never late. So husbands, give your spouse due time. And brothers, don't y'all get angry with me. If I got to have somebody to pray for me, I'm gonna talk to these sisters. You know why? You know why? They ain't gonna pray 3 minutes and quit. They gonna pray, and they gonna pray. And when you leave, they still are praying. When you come back, they still are praying. And don't y'all get it, but this just it. That's why I believe they keep praying all the time. They're trying to make up for what Eve did. They got to pray because it's in them. Let me go on to number seven. This is y'all's number eight, but this is my seven. We are, what hinders our prayers, we are overconfidence in our spiritual maturity. Overconfidence in our spiritual maturity. Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. Preached on this the other week. This is where two men, y'all read it, it's Luke 18, 10 through 14. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One just knew who he was with God. I fast twice a week. Tithes on everything I own. I'm not like that man standing over there. I do this and I do that and I do the other and I do all of this. Talking basically to himself about himself. He just knew that he was so mature in God that God would hear and answer his prayer. The publican was standing over there, wouldn't even look up towards heaven, beating on his chest, and he asked God, said, Lord, save me, a sinner. Bless me, God. And the Bible says that the other man, talking about the publican, went down more blessed than the other one. Sometimes the people that we think can't get a prayer through got a direct line to heaven. They just ring him up and God automatically answers because they've been talking to him a long time. Had reasons to talk to God because there might have been nights when they went to bed and didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. But God provided a way and they trusted in God. We have to understand that God will answer your prayer. Don't begin to think that because you are the pastor of Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church at 603 MLK that you have a lock on the blessings of God. There's somebody that don't know where 603 is, don't know where Macedonia is, got a direct line to God and can get an answer from God before you can because they know where they stand with God and they talk to God just like that. You got to know God up close and personal. If you know him, God will provide just what you need. Nobody likes an arrogant person. Don't care how good you are, how much you know God. If you're arrogant with it and think you are all of that, you need to know that God does not look at earthly standards. What look good to man might not look good to God. What sound good to man might not sound good to God. The life you're living may look good to everybody else, but when God looks down at you, he turns his face, he frowns up, he closes his eyes, he shuts up his ears. Because you're not living the way you're talking about. The devil can talk this game, but you got to live this life. You can't just talk about it. Point number eight. Point number eight is we attempt to rip off God. We attempt to rip it off. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. I don't recall it all. I have it written down here, but I know what the first part of it is. It says, will a man rob God? And I believe the answer is yes. And then it asks how. He says, in tithes and an offering. Let me leave tithes and offering because you're well aware of that. But then there's something else that you need to give God. You need to give God your time. If you don't sacrifice your time and give it to God, if God were to decide to take all your money, you could get a job and get some more more money, but you can't get any more time. This day, we won't see it again. It's right now by the clock on the wall, 12:45. You won't see this time on this date and this year again. You can't get it back. That's why you need to tithe your time to God. Give God some of your time. Don't sit when you come in church. Don't be looking at the clock, wondering when Baggy going to sit down, when Brother Derek going to stop playing, when Reverend Shy going to stop praying, when. You got to stop it because you're in a hurry to leave God. You got to stay with him, and you got to tithe on your time and your offering. If you give God your time, he got your wallet. If you give him your wallet, he got your time. But if you give him both of them at the same time, God's going to bless you because you have not robbed God. If you rob God, you will do a lot of other things that are against the will of God. If you won't give God his money, all he asks for is a dime out of a dollar, a penny out of a dime, and you won't give him that. You got to give it to him, because if you don't do what God said, why do you expect him to do what he said when it comes to you? Yeah! And you wonder why your prayers are not answered. Do what God said. I read somewhere, it's been about a year or two or something ago, that if every church in America were to just pay their tithe, there could be no hungry people in the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If everybody that's on the roll at Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church would pay their tithes, we wouldn't have a debt for this building. It would be paid off. Mm-hmm. And I told y'all over there in that other sanctuary, we got the money. We got the money. It's just in y'all's bank account. And y'all won't write the check. Uh-huh. Yeah. Won't write the check. You are using chairs that somebody else paid for. You walking on soft carpet that somebody else paid for. You are cooling with air that somebody else paid for to cool you. Uh-huh. That's just the bottom line. Tithe and offering. I told y'all this before, and I can't talk about nobody else with tithing. But my wife have paid tithes for us ever since we've been married. But a lot of that time that she was paying tithes, I didn't say anything, but my heart wasn't in it. I knew in my head, an old deacon in Lebanon Baptist Church had taught us that we needed to tithe on whatever we got. If he gave me 50 cents that week, I had to put a dime in church. Yeah. He taught us that. I knew that. So we did that. But my heart wasn't in it. I was doing it from up here. I wasn't doing it from in here. When I started doing it from in here, things got a whole lot better. Mm-hmm. There's some of you that's probably tithing because you know it up here. Just willingly give God what you know you're supposed to give him. And God will fix you. So you can up that 10 till 11, 12, 15. God will fix you so you can do it. Okay, I'm fixing so y'all won't completely shut me off. You done almost put me on mute. So, but I'm point number nine. Point number nine. Failure to submit to biblical teaching. Failure to submit to biblical teaching. We could stay on that word submit for a long time. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 through 28. And this it talks about, he says, because I have called and ye refuse. I have stretched out my hand and no man regard. But ye have set a naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamities. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall ye call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Sometimes when you're calling, he just turns a deaf ear because you don't obey him. When he tried to get your attention, when you know that you ought to submit to biblical teaching and you just won't. You're hard-headed. You're stiff-necked. I'll show them people they can't tell me what to do. I'll show. You have to submit. Submission is something that you might feel like you ought not to do it, but you know you should do it. Submit yourself unto God. And if you submit to God, God will exalt you. But if you're stout-hearted and stiff-necked, and when you submit, submission is not a form of weakness. Submission is a form of strength. I'm strong enough in God that I can submit to your leadership. That's why every Sunday morning I'm in a class where some other person is teaching. I can submit to them teaching me because God didn't put everything that he had in one place. So you don't put all your eggs in one basket because you put them in two or three different baskets. So if you stumble and fall, you won't crack them all. You'll have another basket with some other eggs in it. So we need to be submissive to the will of God. You don't just submit to anything and anybody, but you submit to the will of God. When you submit to God, God will help you to submit to anybody else. You can submit, you can stay in a place where a child is teaching. No matter what your status is, if you submit to God, God will fix you so you can allow people to teach you, because no one person knows everything. I don't care who you think you are, who your mama, your daddy be. I don't care. You don't know it all. Point number 10. I know this is the one y'all been looking for. But I might come up with a number 11. Number 10. Unwilling to forgive or to be forgiven. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bringest thy gift to the altar, and there remembereth that thy brother has aught against thee. And let me stop right there. Aught against thee. Your brother got an aught against you. You stop right there. You stop right there. You don't have an aught against him. He has one against you. Stop. Go find him. Go find her. But you say, Baggett, I don't have anything. I know it. But you go, because they have an ought against you. We need to keep everything on earth in a good working form. It's easier to get heavenly forgiveness than it is to get earthly forgiveness, because God wants to forgive you. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. There is an urgency for reconciliation. God has already reconciled us back to himself. So we need to be reconciled with those that we look at. Those that we look at, if we get reconciled with them, we will be reconciled with God. We have to get our brothers and sisters' forgiveness, and then we can get God's. You can't have an ought against people down here and won't ask God to forgive you. Jesus teaches us that in the model prayer. So you have to... You have to be willing to forgive others. All of us want God to forgive us. And anybody else that have an ought against us, we want them to forgive us. Then why don't you want to forgive others? All streets in this world are not one-way streets. There are some streets that goes both ways. And forgiveness is one of those streets. Forgiveness is one of those streets. You have to forgive people, and then you can be forgiven. If we don't do that, then we're messing ourselves up. I'm through. Number one was failure to come clean with God. Number two was trying to make a good impression with false motives. Number three was asking God for what we have no right asking. Number four was refusing to believe that God will answer our prayers. Number five was denying the reality of spiritual warfare. Number six, discrediting the worth of our spouse. Seven, overconfidence in our spiritual maturity. Number eight was attempting to rip off God. Number nine was failure to submit to biblical teaching. Number 10 is unwilling to forgive or be forgiven. And if I don't tell you what I'm fixing to tell you now, I'll get ready to take my whooping. I told you about number three and number four. Asking for what we have no right of asking. And refusing to believe that God will answer your prayer. Most of you might be aware that I have one son. And he was sick last week and week before. And I wrote in my grateful journal that I wanted God to heal it. I wanted God to bless it. And then God gives me this message asking God for what we have no right of asking and refusing to believe that God will answer our prayer. I felt like I didn't have a right to ask God to heal me. After I did ask him, I asked him, but I still felt like I didn't have a right to ask God for what I asked him. Then after I asked him, I was refusing to believe that God would answer my prayer. And I stand here to tell you that God will fix you. So you'll have to come clean before him. So Baggett, if you're going to preach him a word, you got to be clean with me. And people got to know that you stand before me and you are a man just like they are. And you got faults just like they have. I was looking at my son. I wasn't looking at God. My son is not a believer. And I was looking at my son and I was not looking at God. And God fixed me, so I gotta stand here and tell you that you need to stop looking at who and what you looking at and look at him. Don't look at because they are not believers. I am a believer. I am a believer. And I'm praying to God, asking God to do something for me. Although it's in somebody else, God will. I still got to believe that God will answer my prayer, not based upon my son or my daughter or my wife, but based upon God himself and the way he has fixed me and the way what he will do. will answer you. Don't let the devil make you think that God won't answer you because of somebody else. That son, that daughter, that wife, that husband that may not be living right, if you live and you pray and you talk to God, God will. He'll bring it. He will bring it. You cannot let somebody else's life make you determine what you think God won't do. That's those that I had made up in my mind I was going to just read to you, tell you what they are, and not talk about them. But God said, not so. You have to be obedient, and God will make you get in a zone where it's uncomfortable, because you get out of yourself and you walk with God. God will provide just what he needs. He will, but you got to believe. You got to believe. If ye abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be. I'm abiding in him. I'm not abiding in my son. I'm abiding in God. And God will hear me because I abide in him. See, I tell you, I don't know about nobody else's life, but I know about mine. And that's the only thing I got. And my wife will remember this guy. Pastor Fisher out of Oklahoma said the same thing. He said, you can't preach about nobody else's life but your own. And I don't know about nobody else, but I know about me. I know about me. I know what God does for me. God will heal me because I believe in him and I let his word abide in me. So many times we hear stuff and we quote it back and we don't know what it means. You need to study this Bible. Study it. If ye abide goes back to the word tabernacle. It goes back to the word desire. If I desire God, I'm going to have an unction for him. I'm never going to get tired of him. I'm going to always be after him. I'm going to lust after him. I'm going to never get tired of him. I'm going to read his word. These hinders our prayer. Don't let anything stop your prayer. Pray and talk to a true and a living God. Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus, if you're not aware of this Savior that we're talking about, Jesus the Christ, this is your time.